Hi, I'm Paul Pachter, president of Long Island Cares, welcoming you back to another episode of Breaking Bread, our program right here on our YouTube channel, in which we provide information to the community, not just about hunger and food insecurity and poverty, but about important services available in the Long Island community. And my guest on this episode is Dr. Lawrence Eisenstein. He is the Vice President for Community Health at Catholic Health Services, one of the premier health services program right here on Long Island. Dr. Eisenstein, welcome. Thank you so much for accepting our invitation.
I'm excited to be here and thank you for having me.
Sure, and it's great to see you again.
Yes.
Let's talk first so the audience knows exactly what is Catholic Health. How large is the health service? What does it include?
So we're very excited to talk about what we have to offer. Six hospitals, all based on Long Island. We are proud of our Long Island heritage. Six hospitals, three nursing homes, thousands of providers in the community and growing. And we consider ourselves a trusted, highly valued source of healthcare and social services and other needs on Long Island.
Well, I can attest to the importance of Catholic Health Services because one of their flagship hospitals is St. Francis Heart Center in Roslyn. And I have been there, to be honest with you, several times, and they have a wonderful, wonderful staff. But one of the things that is so important to us here at Long Island Cares is the leadership that Catholic Health Services is taking to address the issue of food insecurity as really what it is, and that is a major health crisis in America. So how did, you know, this come to be that you and Dr. O'Shaughnessy, the president of the hospital, and your wonderful staff decided to focus in on food insecurity and to do an intervention?
It's an important question, and the history goes back to one of the reasons I came to Catholic Health to begin with. When I was leaving my prior job and I was looking at what opportunities were available, I met with our CEO and president, Dr. Mm-hmm. O'Shaughnessy. And he discussed with me his idea of practicing well care as a hospital system as compared to the more traditional sick care. Yeah. And we'll always have people coming to our hospitals, and we're very proud of the work that we do in our hospitals and very appreciative of our doctors and nurses and therapists and all the staff there. But when we were speaking, he was talking to me about his idea to launch a food to go bag program in the emergency rooms. And to me, that showed the true commitment to addressing patients' entire needs beyond just once they're already sick. Right. As a public health professional historically, I aim to see people practice preventive care, to keep people as healthy as possible. Mm-hmm. There'll always be business for emergency rooms, unfortunately, but the true value in healthcare today is addressing those social determinants, the social factors which really impact health outcomes. And very often people say, I have a great doctor, I have a great hospital, therefore I'm healthy. If you've gotten to that hospital, it's too late. The other factors have won out, and then we come in as hospital systems across Long Island and rescue you. But Dr. O'Shaughnessy's commitment, especially his passion for making sure that hunger and nutrition is not a reason that people need health care, was one of the key reasons I came to Catholic Health. As I got here, we were just about to launch our food to go bag program in our emergency rooms, which is led on the ground by our Vice President of Government Affairs, Lisa Santoramo. And she and I and Dr. O'Shaughnessy spoke. And what we've established is wonderful and award winning. And we don't want somebody leaving our hospital and going home to an empty cupboard so that they're not going to eat for however long. We know that the likely outcome of that isn't good, and they're going to end up right back in our emergency rooms unnecessarily. We want people coming to our emergency rooms, but only when it's necessary. Mm-hmm. And so that commitment to screen every patient that comes through our six campuses, and now we're even exploring with your partnership at Long Island Cares, potentially other sites and ways of doing this kind of screening. So as you know, Long Island Cares is the provider of the bags of food. We're very appreciative of this wonderful partnership. And right now, as we speak, in our emergency rooms, people are being screened for food insecurity and hunger. And when somebody does screen positive, they're asked the two vital signs questions from the CDC, Centers of Disease Control and Prevention. And so these are standard questions across public health. And when somebody does screen positive, they are, two things happen. One, we offer them a food to go bag when they leave. Mm-hmm. That's meant just to hold them for a couple of days, a few days, while we do the second component, which is attach them to the social services they need, whether it's SNAP or WIC or whatever the services are, so that they have food in the immediate time period and then an ongoing source of food afterwards, so that hopefully the goal is their health is better and they never need to come to a hospital because they're hungry.
Mm-hmm. If people show up in the emergency room of any one of your facilities, your excellent hospitals, people are coming and really presenting symptoms and signs of being food insecure. You know, we've heard stories where people have gone into an emergency room, let's say late in the day, 5-6 o'clock, complaining of, you know, medical issues, but yet they're really there because they haven't eaten.
Yes.
You know, and the hospital then becomes a lifeline for them. Is that what you're seeing at your centers?
When people are hungry, they very often tell medical providers the symptoms that come from being hungry. And almost everybody's had a time where they haven't eaten a little while. Well, magnify that over days and think about how weak you feel and maybe dizzy and maybe pains, whether it's in your abdomen or chest or wherever. Inability to walk steady, especially somebody's a little bit older. There are so many symptoms that are associated with hunger, and when people show up to the emergency room because they have those symptoms from hunger, they have dignity. They don't want to walk into an emergency room and say, I'm here because I haven't eaten in 3 days.
Right.
But they're very quick to talk about the actual symptoms they're suffering. Weakness, dizziness, pain. Of course, it's an obligation to make sure that there isn't a medical emergency going on with the heart attack or a stroke or whatever it might be. And so then we're in a situation as healthcare providers where somebody who needs a $1 bowl of soup may get a $20,000 workup to evaluate and make sure, because we can't miss something life-threatening. And it would be better if somebody came in and said, I haven't eaten in 3 days, I'm hungry. And we at Catholic Health would be committed to helping them in that scenario.
And do you know, currently, how many patients, I mean, unfortunately, we're calling them patients because they're showing up in an emergency room. How many patients have benefited from this program since its inception?
So we know how many people that have come through screen positive every week. It's averaging about 36 people a week across our system. But I think there's a consequence that we're not even counting, which is, maybe it's the second visit that somebody says, you know what, I'm going to say yes to this, or I'm not afraid to say yes to this. Or it raises the issue in somebody's mind. And maybe while they're there in that emergency room for whatever their immediate health causes, maybe they think about it later. And so while we certainly know how many people have food bags we've given out, how many people we've attached to ongoing social services and ongoing nutrition, the educational component about it, the idea that it's something we're looking for, it has extended beyond even our just the emergency room patient population. Our staff is aware of this and very supportive of this. And across Catholic Health, this is something that we're very proud of and we know it. And you know, one of the things we're even going to be looking at is our own staff. We have over 17,000 employees, and we're doing a good job feeding our hungry patients, but we have to make sure we even address the needs of our own workforce. And of course, we're taking it outside, as you know, as our partner. We're looking at other potential places to screen people. We're going to be partnering with our friends at the Stony Brook Public Health Program to work in libraries coming up. Yeah. Not every library, it's a pilot in a few locations. So we're just very excited that we're making this evaluation mainstream, and we're making it a standard part of what we call well care again. And while we're probably finding 1-2% are food insecure right now in our emergency rooms, that's an underestimate of what's actually happening in the community.
Right.
You've got to start somewhere. And I think the numbers are very encouraging that we're heading in a very positive direction for improving health outcomes based on hunger.
It definitely sounds that way. I know how excited our staff is to be working with Catholic Health Services and with Lisa Santoramo and the team. I was going to ask you, you sort of answered it already, but I'll ask it anyway. What's been the reception toward the questionnaire, toward screening for food insecurity of the staff that's in the ER? I mean, you know, they're used to dealing with life and death situations. You know, people are coming in with in cardiac arrest, people are coming in with gunshots, people are coming in from, you know, accidents, and there you have nurses and doctors doing screenings on patients to find out if they're struggling with food insecurity. You give me the impression they sort of embrace the concept.
Well, I think a lot of people who come to work at Catholic Health, it's a mission-based organization. And so nurses and doctors can choose a lot of different great mm-hmm. places to work on Long Island or in the New York area. And so to choose Catholic Health, very often people come to us with the notion that they're there to serve people. Right. And so I think that certainly anytime you instill new operations, especially if it's more work, we've got to evaluate sure. it. And the questions, the fair questions, where is the best location to do it in the at what part, on the way in, on the way out, should it be nurses doing it in the first place? And what we're doing is we have outreach with some of our partners in the community and other places who've done successful programs, and we're asking them, what is it that you've done to make this work, to make it most embraced? And we're doing very well, and we're evaluating how to even do better. But the general, to answer your question, the general acceptance has been wonderful. Our nurses and doctors and therapists and clerical staff and everybody involved, for the most part, have really understood that you're feeding hungry people. That if that doesn't summarize the mission of Catholic Health in a nutshell, sure. then I don't know what we can do. But we're taking this to the next level, and we're evaluating it. So in one of our campuses, we're going to be piloting with a grant a specific community health worker who that's their role to do the screening just of this, to take the burden away from those nurses and doctors. Not that they're complaining, but they do have life and death scenarios that they're treating. And when the nurses and doctors are at a busy period with life and death scenarios, we can't expect them to stop and go ask. So we'll have dedicated people that we're going to be evaluating doing this. And we're very excited that, now CMS, the Centers for Medicaid and Medicare, have now mandated hospitals to start screening for 5 of the social determinants. Mm-hmm. Well, this is one of them, and we're out in front of it. So depending how we do with this and this new pilot, that may be guiding us forward. So there's so much we've learned from this.
Well, it's definitely encouraging to see Catholic Health Services doing this. I got to ask you a question because, you've had so many people so far that have gone through the screening process. Is there some commonality, or is there a specific group within the people you've seen that you could say unequivocally, this is a target, this is an at-risk population that we have to address?
We're evaluating the data, but I think, as in other public health measures, sometimes what you think is the scenario is not always the way that it is. So certainly socioeconomics, there's a tie-in. People who suffer from poverty are more likely to be hungry. But we've also noticed some interesting things, which maybe the sample size is not big enough to publish this or make a formal conclusion. But we've also noticed seniors who are on a fixed income that, until inflation went out of control in the last couple of years, were able to get by. And now all of a sudden, we saw what happened to the cost of eggs and dairy. And now some of it's come back down. But the point being, there have been cases from populations that you wouldn't just off the top of your head say that these people are going to be hungry. Right. A fixed middle-class income from 30 years ago may not be able to support somebody's needs right now. Yeah. So I think that's just something we're on alert for, and we have seen just enough cases like that to say, something to think about and strategize. We're going to be doing a full analysis to see which disease states tie into the need. And, as we go and grow this and have a bigger sample size, I think we'll have better numbers. But by all means, the epidemiologic learning from this is going to be really important moving forward.
I'm actually not surprised at your answer. I thought I was going to hear you say something about seniors, because I've seen in the last 4 years this increase in the number of seniors who are coming to the pantries and the other emergency food programs, and even our own mobile pantry that goes out to the homes of seniors and deliver groceries. You know, that's a senior who's accepted the fact that they need help. But when we go to visit them at home, it's the exact opposite of when they come to Catholic Health. We're going to them for food insecurity, and then we're hearing about the medical issues, about the socioeconomic issues, about the lack of family support. One of the things I'd like to discuss with you, because you've given me so much information right now, in your previous career, before you came to Catholic Health, you were the commissioner of the Nassau County Health Department. And this is a public health issue.
Yes.
So put on your hat for a second as health commissioner. And speaking to other healthcare providers, whether it's the hospitals, whether it's the community clinics, or doctors in private practice, you see a need for public health policy that has to address this issue.
Yeah, and the statistic is that of all the money we invest in healthcare, 98% of it is on the treatment side, and only 2% of it is on the prevention side. Mm. And yet, from a policy standpoint, you're hearing every year the cost of healthcare goes up and up and up. And so many hospitals across the country are struggling or operating within very low margins. Mm-hmm. And in some of the poorest communities, thankfully not our hospitals, but in some of the poorest communities, there are hospitals at risk of closing down.
Right.
We need to rethink this financial model, and that's why I love the term WellCare. I think that's a public health term in itself, and
makes sense.
And investing a little on the preventive side makes such a big difference downstream.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to measure. It's hard to measure if, and I always said this when I was in my prior role as Commissioner of Health, if a hospital hires a surgeon and they do X number of surgeries, you could say, look, we did X number of surgeries and saved this number of lives, and it generated whatever the money is. In public health, the challenge is if we're good at preventing illness, then the illness doesn't happen and there's nothing to count.
Right. That's very true.
So quantifying the benefit, and that doesn't mean you can't quantify the benefit. There have been some wonderful studies, and in fact, the WIC nutrition program, the Federal Women, Infant, Children program, has proven that for every dollar invested in WIC services, it saves somewhere between $4 and $5,
right,
depending on the survey, the evaluation. But in every survey of it, say invest $1 in pregnant women's nutrition and new moms, and you save the whole system $4 to $5 in neonatal ICU care and costs. So it just goes to show anybody who invests $1 and gets $4 or $5 back is going to be very happy.
Absolutely.
From a public health perspective, this is an example of small investment. It's the food bags aren't costing millions.
Right.
We do have to make sure that these programs in public health that we develop from a hospital standpoint remain sustainable and viable. But for the potential outcome, if we avoid one hospitalization a year, it probably pays off the whole year's worth of the food to go program.
You're absolutely
one.
Right.
That's just one.
Yep.
And we believe that we're doing way, way more than that. And so we will be setting this up to evaluate the patients that we see, how many visits we get from them. It's part of, all of this is part of the new way that we're measuring healthcare in terms of value-based outcomes.
And you're going to be measuring well care. And outcomes of well care. One other question I'd like to ask in terms of experience and what you're looking at in terms of sampling groups and population, are you seeing concern at all in terms of the demographics of the population that are coming to the ERs with food insecurity issues? Are we looking at a high concentration of African Americans, Hispanics, or white people, or is this completely across the board? It's everyone.
We're still evaluating the data. In short, it is everyone.
Yeah.
And we, our six hospitals are geographically located in very different locations, some of them far apart.
Yeah.
So I think for the most part, what we're seeing is that the population who's screening positive is generally reflective of the catchment mm-hmm. area. But we are looking to see if there are trends, and where we are focusing the community health roadmap, which we've planned, our health equity program, which I'm very proud of, and health equity, people tend to think it means treating everybody the same. No, no, health equity is giving a community or a patient the services that they need specifically, right. is a program that we're building. It's one of the other reasons I agreed to join Catholic Health. Mm-hmm. Almost a year now I'm there, and the opportunity to really grow Catholic Health's health equity program and preventive health is what we're doing. And so you have to base that on the data. Mm-hmm. So we're analyzing the cases, we're looking at who's screening positive, we're looking at where they're from. I would say for the most part, generally, the positive screens that we have are reflective in general of the mm-hmm. catchment area that they're in. And as we get a larger sample size, we will have a really good idea to guide our next mm-hmm. steps.
You know, one of the things I'd like to go back on just for a second is you're mentioning the cost savings and the efficiency that's built into this. And one of the reasons why I'm very excited to be part of this with Catholic Health is because we could make this happen at a very low cost, low investment, because of our buying power as a food bank. You know, we buy by the pallet, we buy by the truckload. We don't just go out to the supermarket, you know, spend $20 and buy groceries. We spend $20 and we get $60 worth of groceries. So it is cost efficient and cost effective. One of the things that really stands out for me when I talk about Catholic Health, and I've spoken about Catholic Health a lot in the last 10 years, you do healthcare right. You know, it's not just the patient. I've seen this firsthand. It's the family, it's the support system, it's the community. You know, for you to take a program that you've been piloting, let's say, for the last year on, and now realize a year later, let's get a staff person in here. Let's get a specialist who can work with the community, who knows, you know, they'll do the questionnaire, they'll be able to work with Long Island Cares, their community support services, and get people back on the right track. You know, people don't often associate food insecurity with health issues, but we know it. In children, food insecurity leads to educational problems, leads to behavioral problems. With the seniors, you know, through living in isolation, so many of them. And you came to Catholic Health Services right after COVID. I mean, you really got Nassau County through COVID.
Thank you.
Because I remember so many times attending press conferences with the county executive that you were in attendance, the police commissioner was in mm-hmm. attendance. I was lucky to be in attendance a few times. And we really worked very closely with the county, both counties in fact, on addressing the issue of food insecurity during COVID. And I think in many ways, that sort of was the eye opener for society, because look at all the videos we saw on cable news, on network news, of, you know, hundreds of cars lined up, you know, to get food. And yet these people are not living in poverty.
Right.
But a crisis such as a pandemic uncovered a lot of stuff. I certainly am looking really forward to the continued expansion of this program. I think it's important on so many different levels, because if you could address food insecurity, then you could address the healthcare issue. If you address the healthcare issue, then you could address the socioeconomic issues. And, you know, Long Island is a very diverse region in the state, and we have many, many hospitals. But I got to tell you, from what I've seen over the years, I'm just so proud of our partnership with Catholic Health Services and the opportunity to work with you. So if someone presents in an emergency room, let's say with abdominal pains, and based upon the questionnaire, there may be something medical going on. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe you have an ulcer. Mm-hmm. Maybe maybe you're having a reaction to some medication you took. But looking at the questionnaire, you know, how do you feel? What's your pain level? When was the last time you ate? I mean, and that's just bringing a whole new challenge to healthcare in America, in fact, globally, from what we see.
There's so much in what you said. And, you know, food itself is one of the social drivers and hunger. But as we look to meet the new CMS mandates, we're going to be coming at it from all different directions. And so, for example, why is that person hungry? Why mm-hmm. do they not have food sure. in their house? Maybe they just have no way to get to the supermarket.
Right.
They may have the money. Mm-hmm. They may not have transportation or not understand that they could have it delivered. So transportation will be one of the big social mm-hmm. drivers that we
sure.
address. And so this is the start of something that could be massive and truly change the healthcare paradigm.
Yeah.
And we're very appreciative of our partnership with Long Island Cares. You've been a great partner and friend, and I think we've done a lot of good for a lot of people.
I think so too, and we look forward to continuing it. I really want to thank you for joining us on today's program. Dr. Lawrence Eisenstein, the Vice President for Community Health at Catholic Health Services of Long Island. 6 hospitals, lots of clinics, but more importantly, lots of innovation going on. When you talk about corporate social responsibility, we often don't talk about the healthcare corporation. We talk about big businesses, the Amazons of the world, the Bank of America folks. But when it comes to corporate social responsibility as it pertains to healthcare, then you talk about organizations like Catholic Health Services. Thank you so much
for joining us.
It's been a pleasure. If you like what you're watching right here on YouTube, then please subscribe to the Long Island Cares channel. Until next time, this is Paul Pachter, President and CEO of Long Island Cares. Go out and do something good for a friend and take care of one another. We'll see you next time right here.